Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Decoding the Unknown. As always, hello there. I'm your host. Thank you for being here. The format of this show is one of my writers will write me something. Kevin, in this case, I'm going to read it. I've never read it before. This one's called Cut Cheese. Cut Cheese? Coot Cheese? Someone like that cheese? Key Lime Pies. This is about... I'm vaguely familiar with this. This one of those Reddit mysteries or something where there was some shop that no one could identify, but it had all these reviews or something weird. I'm not sure. Kevin has written it. We're going to explore it together. We're going to decode the unknown and see what conclusions we come to. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Jen, who is the editor on this channel. You all make this possible. And of course, you as well, dear viewer. And let's get into it. Most of us likely have no idea how close we've come to death in our lives or how many times we've narrowly escaped it. For others like Carl Marsh, they know exactly how close they've been, and it was far too close for comfort. Yeah, this is one of those things I'd love to know. Like, it's one of those impossible things that you never know. But, like, what was the closest I came to death? Like, what was it like leaving for work, like, 2 seconds later? And if I had left, like, 2 seconds later or something, then I would have been hit by a car while crossing the road? Or was it while I was actually doing something dangerous? I'd love to know. Carl was repairing an antenna for WLOS-TV outside Asheville, North Carolina. Well, that's already a dangerous job, isn't it? You're going high up in the air to, like, repair antennas. It's going to be some scary... As I'm slightly afraid of heights. I mean, not if I'm in some skyscraper or something, because then you're like, well, I'm pretty safe up here. But like any sort of insecured heights, I'm like, I really like this. The station's transmitters were out in the woods, which seems like a terrible place to keep them. I'm sure there's a reason for them being out there, Kevin. Carl approached the remote workstation and climbed to the top of the first tower to quickly replace a broken part that had been taken out by an errant crow. On a kamikaze mission, had he seen the bird himself, perhaps Carl would have taken heed of the bad omen and declined the job, or at least requested some assistance. But there was seemingly no reason to be concerned, and this was just a routine maintenance job, the kind he had done on various antennas around Ohio dozens, if not hundreds of times by this point. The repairs went off without a hitch. Just like Kyle was about to. As soon as he began his descent, his foot slipped on the metal ladder rung, twisting and spraining his ankle. Shocked by the sudden pain, Kyle lost his grip entirely and was sent flying from the top of the 100-meter antenna towards the ground. No! Dude, 100-meter fall, you can't survive that. And also, why aren't you wearing a harness or something, dude? Some may call it luck that his body came off the antenna with enough horizontal speed to send it crashing down toward through the tree line, but to Kyle, this was more of a cruel joke. As he bounced off tree limbs, he could feel his ribs crack and his shoulder dislocate. I mean, I probably wouldn't be thinking it at the time, but really, those injuries are saving your life. Because you're crashing through the trees, each one of those is an impact that is damaging your body, not killing you, and slowing you down. Carl probably didn't feel like that at that moment. He was probably like, this is extremely painful, and then I'm going to die anyway. That's not even to mention all the minor cuts and bruises. But the trees weren't breaking his bones, they were breaking his fall. For all the injuries Kyle was sustaining, he knew that had he been given the time to freely accelerate before landing on the ground, this could have all been much worse. This was likely the last coherent thought Kyle would have for a while, as his head would then slam against a thick branch only a few meters off the ground. Now concussed and alone in the woods, Carl couldn't find his way back to the transmitter. It was summertime, so the tree cover would have been enough to block out the view of the tall structure, and it was too dark to simply look at which direction he had come. Even if Carl had been in his right mind, orientating himself back the way that he came could have been a difficult task, but after the concussion, he was no longer in his right mind. He grabbed a branch that had fallen to the ground with him to use as a cane, and he made his way to his feet, or rather, his foot, as no weight could be put on the sprained ankle. Delirious, dazed, and desperate, he embarked deeper into the dense foliage. Oh my god, dude, this is not going to end well. I mean, it is, because we know this story, so I'm sure he gets rescued, but it's like, oh my. When was this? Does he not have a mobile phone? Come on, dude. What's going on? Do we not have a date on this, Kevin? I guess not. But I don't know, someone will come and rescue you. Just chill. Also, what's this got to do with Key Lime Pies? I thought this was to do with a store that doesn't exist. Hobbling through the woods, the minutes slowly turned into hours. Carl's disappearance had not gone unnoticed, and he had received several phone calls, but he couldn't hear the ringing of his phone over the deafening cacophony of the ringing inside his skull. Why doesn't he use his phone to call 911? Finally overtaken with pain and exhaustion, he collapsed. From his new vantage point on the ground, he could see that the dirt and grass was soon going to turn to pavement, so he mustered the strength to crawl forward, desperate to finally receive some help and medical attention. He crawled his way onto the side of Highway 25, the lights of Asheville city streets overwhelming his senses. As he tried to get his bearings, he heard a voice, "Oh, you poor dear." Looking up, Carl saw the angelic beauty of none other than Anita Palais. Oh, I assume the angelic... I assume this was an old woman because she says, "Oh, you poor dear," which is like an old woman thing to say, but I guess not. I mean, not that old women can't be have angelic beauty. It's just not exactly what I have in my mind. He had requested an ambulance, but Anita knew what he really needed. She went to the kitchen and grabbed the last slice of Captain Cucci Palaz's famous key lime pie. One bite and Carl knew everything was going to be better. As he indulged himself in the rich pie. As he indulged himself in the rich, delicious key lime pie, he could feel his wounds healing. Halfway through the pie, he stood up and began pacing the restaurant just because he could. His sprained ankle had never felt better in his life. But by the time Carl reached that last bite, he had to sit down again. Otherwise, the intense piegasm that had begun to overtake his loins would have knocked him completely off his feet. What is going on? What sort of introduction is this? Coutchardeville. Oswald Carlos Palaz was a native of Tampa, Florida. Born in 1926, he and his family moved to Asheville, North Carolina in the late 1930s, where he would remain until his passing in January 2020. His family had a knack for business, and they owned and operated a grocery store, a soda bottling plant, and several rental properties. This story isn't about him. This story is about his son, Oswald Jr., nicknamed Cucci for reasons that we may decipher, or you might say decode. Later. Oswald Jr. and his wife Anita owned a restaurant at 2188 Hendersonville Road in Arden, North Carolina, just a few miles outside of Asheville. The restaurant went through several incarnations, dating all the way back to 1976. It began as Cucci's Steak and Lobster House. It was likely a classy joint, as I found several classified ads seeking an organist for their restaurants. Oh my god, the past, everybody. What are you doing having steak and there's someone playing a freaking organ? It's like I'm in a church. The organist must have been a hit, because in 1981 they rebranded to Cucci's Dine and Dance Supper Club. And if you're thinking they probably just had a DJ or a jukebox, their 1983 ads boast having Jack Fisher on the organ. The spirit of the 1930s was alive and well in 1980s North Carolina. By the time the 1990s rolled around, it was time to rebrand the restaurant once again, and in 1991 it became Cucci's Key West Bar and Grill. There are reports from locals that in the early 2000s the name changed once again to Cucci's Key West Coutchardeville, and that this was their ultimate demise. Jimmy Buffett's lawyers found out and threatened legal action in 2006, at which point Cucci decided to just close shop and move back to Florida rather than face the court battle. A third option did exist, and he could simply have renamed the restaurant yet again, but he was pushing 60 years old at this point and decided that it wasn't worth the effort. That is, assuming that this actually happened. I haven't been able to independently verify these claims, but Buffett's lawyers sued a Colorado dispensary called Marijuanaville in 2014 and a Florida restaurant, Martiniville, in 2012, so it's well within the realm of possibility that these results from Asheville natives are correct. I have no idea what Jimmy Buffett... I only know the name Jimmy Buffett. I don't know who Jimmy Buffett is, and I don't know why he's suing everyone who names something Ville. Like, if I named a channel Simonville, are Jimmy Buffett's lawyers going to come after me? And I don't even know who he is. And why can't you name something Ville? How can you copy... Like, you can't have lord of domain over that. That's stupid. There's plenty of places called Ville. Seems a bit like a bit of a c***, allegedly. The opinions of alleged residents to the area vary wildly on Cucci's Key West. Most people claim that the food was really good, as was the key lime pie. Some cite it as being merely mediocre. One alleged resident said that he drove past the restaurant every day for years and that he never saw more than a single car in the parking lot. He claimed that his friends ate there once and it was terrible, and that he believed it was a front for money laundering. I'm highly skeptical of that person's claim, but I figured I'd toss it in there for our more conspiracy-minded viewers, even if I don't believe a word of it. Okay, here we go. This is like getting into the story as more I know it. But I had no idea about this guy falling off a broadcast tower or anything and then being magically revived by Pi. So, all right, that's a bit weird. The reviews. So Oswald Jr. owned a restaurant for decades that eventually went out of business. That doesn't seem like much of a mystery. The mystery is what happened next. The first review appeared on the So Good blog in October 2009, 3 years after Cucci's Key West closed. There was a two-sentence blog post lamenting that the poster wanted to find his soulmate, a woman with whom he could have dirty sex followed by eating cheeseburgers together. Okie dokie, that's an extremely low bar for a soulmate, and I wouldn't think it's that hard to find. Also, who doesn't love sex and who doesn't love cheeseburgers? Over 2 years after the original blog post was made, a reply came from user Jimmy Buffett saying, "These cheeseburgers are better than sex. Where I tell you, Cutchies Key West Bar and Grill, Asheville, NC." It reads like an ordinary post from a spam bot, but this was only the first post of thousands. The posts would continue to get stranger, sometimes to the point of being downright pornographic, and it would continue for years. The reviews start off pretty benign. They're short, related to the original post, and advertise Cutchies Key West and the Key Lime Pies. They are also always posted under the name of a celebrity or famous fictitious character, such as Jimmy Buffett, Christine Brinkley, Johnny Carson, Roger Ramjet, or Vinnie Gambini. Oh my god, I know who so few of these people are. I've heard of Jimmy Buffett and Johnny Carson. I don't know who any of the others are. And I don't even know what Johnny Carson and Jimmy Buffett do. It feels very American-centric. I don't think these people crossed the pond. Or maybe I just don't know about them. Anyway, as the probably my knowledge of pop culture is appallingly low. As the years passed, the reviews got longer and weirder. They loved to talk about the beautiful Anita Palais, wife of Captain Cutchy Palais, and the magic of their key lime pies. The grammar and spelling were off, the formatting was all over the place, and each message was unique. The reviews no longer had anything to do with the articles they were posted on, and instead of being located primarily on food blogs, they were now being posted anywhere and everywhere, but especially on articles of a somewhat sexual nature. This continued until 2013, so I kept this up for 4 years? Why? What is your motivation? Starting in July of 2013, the posts became copy-pasted messages, occasionally with minor modifications or original text at the end. A second copy-pasted message was added to the mix that November, and slowly more would be created until 2016, when there were a total of 8 different messages. These reviews were paragraphs long and told insane stories like the intro that I wrote for you today, except about 90% less coherent. What? No longer simply tales of how delicious the key lime pie or the goody-goody cheeseburger was. Now these reviews of the restaurant spoke of intense piegasms, curing erectile dysfunction, increasing penis size by 50%, and making men multi-orgasmic. What is going on? Who is spending time doing this? And is there some weird, like, reason? I feel like, you know, when you see, like, crazy comments on blogs that are trying to get clicked somewhere else, I'm always like, is someone trying to, like, game Google or YouTube or something? It's like, you know, I think back in the day, people used to game YouTube somehow by, like, messing with their, you know, when you're on the, if you click on a channel, like, not a specific video, but, like, a channel, and you go to the about page, and sometimes you'll see the craziest descriptions. We'll be like, this is a channel all about XYZ. We love XYZ, and we post about XYZ no end. XYZ is our biggest thing, because they're, like, stuffing it with words that they think will mean that people find it on YouTube, and I guess maybe this worked in the past. Obviously, it doesn't work anymore, because, I mean, YouTube's more sophisticated than this, but you sometimes stumble across these because someone hasn't edited it since doing it like 10 years ago, and you're like, what have I read? So I think maybe it's got something to do with that or something weird. The highest concentration of reviews up until this point had been when they first began. As many as 10 reviews per day would appear for the first month or two before slowing down. There would even be pauses with no new reviews at all. When 2013 introduced the copy-pasted reviews, however, the output had increased to anywhere from double to 4 times what it had originally been, and this rate was sustained for nearly a full year. In addition to all the key lime pie reviews, there were a handful of very strange reviews in 2012, back when the messages were all handcrafted with love and care. These reviews were all about a website called OZSgold.com, a site supposedly owned by Oswald Palais and his brother Pete. So this sounds like exactly what I was talking about. People are leaving reviews, like fake tons of reviews, just directing traffic back to this website they own so that people will visit and buy whatever they're selling or some shit like that. While Oswald does, in fact, have a brother named Pete, there does not seem to be any way to know whether they actually own this site or not. What is known, thanks to the Internet Archive, is that in 2011, this website was hosting a multi-level marketing scam run by the company Numis Networks. Now, allegedly, let's just say, just throw that allegedly in there just in case. That sounds exactly like the sort of thing I'm talking about. This is all, for me, it's like, okay, the fake reviews that people might discover, then they lead back to this website where people fall for this alleged scam. So that seems to make sense. And then you'd be paying, like, I don't know, tons of people to just go around post reviews linking back to this, and someone just got nuts on key lime pies for some reason. It's weird, but I think that's a reasonable explanation. Numismatics is the term for collecting coins, currency, and rare metals, which fits both the company name and the website name, as well as the claims that Oswald was guaranteeing profit on purchases of gold. Claims that Jimmy Buffett was responsible for the restaurant shutting down may have been confirmed in 2015 when the matter was brought up in the newest of the copy-pasted messages. This was also 5 years before locals would make that claim, as no one had even found these reviews yet. In September of 2015, the New Post mentioned, "Don't be fooled into thinking that Jimmy Buffett designed or had anything to do with this place. The original restaurant, Coochie Steak and Lobster House, predated not only the first Margaritaville restaurant, but the song itself." Okay, so he's... Oh, okay, so Jimmy Buffett's a singer who had a song called With Ville at the end, and he thinks he owns Ville? What the f***? The interior does... Siri, scared the shit out of me. What the f***? Normally Siri goes off and I'm not afraid, but when you read these creepy stories, it's like, Oh my God. Why am I so afraid? Holy shit. Siri's going to be like, your heart rate has increased to 160. I'm like, I f***ing know it has. You did that, Siri, you bastard. In September of 2015, the Post mentioned, "Don't be fooled into thinking that Jimmy Buffett designed or had anything to do with this place. The original restaurant, Coochie Steak and Lobster House, predated not only the first Margaritaville restaurant, but also the song itself. The interior designer of the building changed quite a bit over its rebrandings, up to the point of allegedly having a live alligator in the tank in the middle of the restaurant." Yeah, right. But I can't... The alligators are f***ing big! "But I can understand the frustration of being sued for copying a restaurant that didn't exist until you've already been in business for almost a decade. Still, the alleged testimonials that would come later did say its final incarnation had a very Margaritaville vibe to it, and if true, you'd have thought they'd have seen a lawsuit coming." Okay, so they named it exactly after the song, or they made it... I don't know. The problem is I don't know the backgrounds of this Jimmy Buffett shit, Kevin. So I guess they themed their restaurant after some song that Jimmy Buffett sang, and he was like, that's not okay. In that case, fair enough, Jimmo. You can... That sounds like a lawsuit. But apologize for all the previous comments I made about you, if you are even still alive. I don't even know when you were singing. You could have been singing in the 1950s, for all I know.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
While the previous online reviews had all been about the quality of the key lime pie, the beauty of Anita Perez, and how much the restaurant was going to improve your sex life, this new 2015 message took on a sudden, sharp political turn. It spoke highly of Donald Trump while demonizing Hillary Clinton, which I found a bit unusual at first. Coochie's grandfather had run for local political office as a member of the Democratic Party. After more research, it seems that they did not see eye to eye on politics at all, but we'll get to that a little bit later. An internet phenomenon. Okay, here we go. Reddit's going to pick up on it and want to dissect all of this. And hopefully, they'll do so. In September 2016, the first Reddit post was made, there we go, about the reviews. People were instantly captivated by the sheer volume of outlandish and enigmatic reviews about key lime pie and wanted to know more about the identity of the poster. Whoever was making the post seemed to be aware of this development. That November, the eighth and final copy-paste message was posted, and it began, "Hey Bob," followed by a joke about Ashton Kutcher. There were variations on the post as usual, but the first one ended with, "Caution, I think we're being watched." Others made similar comments about feeling like someone was watching them. After 2016, it seemed that any official correspondence from this poster ceased entirely. There are a lot of copycats out there, but the official writing style simply doesn't match. Someone also found a Facebook account for Coochie Perez that made a similar style comment on a viral Facebook post, but that account was created the same month as the Reddit post. Considering that Oswald Sr.'s Facebook page has been located and was created in 2010, it's unlikely that his son would have only joined after this whole situation went viral. Still, people contacted the user and received strange replies in Swedish and German, the native languages of the people contacting him. Okie dokie. The replies turned out to just be quotes from video game cutscenes, but there is a subsection of people who still believe that these messages are from the original poster. Certainly weird enough to be. This person is, I think, maybe it's just someone who's lost their minds, just out there on the internet, just doing all sorts of crazy stuff. The whole situation really begs the question, why would someone post thousands of reviews for a restaurant that shut down years before, only to stop almost immediately once people started reading them? Theories. Spam bot gone wrong. Nah, it's too... I mean, maybe, but they seem to be... Someone's actually writing these in the first place. They're not completely gobbledygook. Someone... It's not just, like, auto-generated text. The first theory is that this is some sort of spam bot gone wrong. This was the first and most obvious theory because of the massive volume of posts, but it also makes absolutely no sense. The posts didn't start until 3 years after the restaurant closed. Many of the sites posted on required verified accounts, including CAPTCHA and other anti-spam protocols, and the messages are also thematically consistent, though those themes evolved over time. The formatting and scatterbrain nature of the post certainly could read like something a spam bot would write, but in the beginning, the posts, while frequent, weren't particularly spammy in nature. They came on strong, but they slowed down, and there are even breaks of multiple months in between new posts. I just don't feel like this fits at all. Yeah, I think it's like a spamming person, but they're a human, which is strange. Reverse SEO. Reverse search engine optimization is the process by which you try to bury negative or unflattering search results about yourself or your company deep down in Google's results. Oh, okay, I see. So this is like, I was talking about how they'd use it to drive people to a certain website, but you can also do it so people can't find a certain website. That makes sense, as most people aren't going to go past the first or second page of a search. There are also two possible ways this was being used here. The first is that the Pelez family was trying to bury search results about themselves or the restaurant, but seeing as this started years after the restaurant was already closed, it seems more than a little pointless, and extensive digging doesn't pull up anything particularly negative on Kutchy or Anita themselves. It's possible that means the tactic worked, but a lot of people have done a lot of digging without finding anything. The other option was that these reviews were being used as a means to test reverse SEO techniques. The posts contained pretty unique search terms like Kutcheritaville and the owner's names. By making a series of these posts and then searching for the terms they used, they could see what sites were showing up in the top results page. For this to be the case, however, I think it would be far more effective to just use a single copy-pasted message rather than taking the time to write new individual messages for years. Yeah, I mean, it's also like people would have to be searching for these people, and it's like, are they really going to make the effort to bury some negative article about their restaurant that closed or them as people years afterwards? It's not like they're, I don't know, some celebrity or something. Troll or an ARG? The idea that this is just a troll would make a lot of sense, except for the fact that as soon as it started gaining any attention, the posts almost immediately stopped. That doesn't rule out this theory, however, as posting nothing has made people more interested in this mystery than if it kept going. An alternate reality game, or ARG, alternate reality game, would absolutely have been a solid possibility at first, but there was nothing deeper to delve into than just the initial posts, and it went on for far too long without anyone taking notice. Then again, maybe there was something deeper to delve into. Coded messages. Oh, here we go. Gotta get those spies into an episode somehow. It wouldn't be an internet mystery without secret codes and ciphers. The odd language used in many of the posts, as well as the inconsistent capitalization of random words throughout, have led many people to believe that these messages are actually a secret code. Kutchy is also Jamaican slang for a weed pipe. There you go. It could be that Captain Kutchy was just a prolific enthusiast of the devil's grass while cooking at his restaurant, but perhaps it's something more dangerous. These messages could use Captain Kutchy's name as a dog whistle, and the key lime pie he peddles represents narcotics, which the decoded message would tell someone how to purchase. Okay, so Captain Kutchy's would be like the search term that you use to find these secret posts, and these secret posts would then tell you how to buy some weed. Seems a little bit elaborate, doesn't it? But also clever. Or maybe it's something much more sinister. There are repeated references in these posts to Kutchy's Key West being located near the Biltmore Estate, a 4-acre, 250-room estate built by George Vanderbilt, or more specifically, by his 1,000 workers, over 6 full years. Oh my god, that is a big effort. It's true that Kutchy's was located near the Biltmore, and the estate is one of the major tourist attractions in North Carolina, so this would be useful to include in a sales pitch. But the Biltmore also has a number of conspiracies surrounding it. The estate is filled with secret doors and tunnels. Cool. And the 70,000-gallon indoor pool is speculated to have been used as a site for child sacrifices. It sounds a little bit unrealistic, doesn't it? This combines with the intensely sexual nature of many of the Key Lime Pie reviews has led people to believe that these messages are code for sex trafficking, illegal pornography, or worse. If you look hard enough, it seems you can build a conspiracy about literally anything. Yeah, I feel like spies, child sacrifices, the Vanderbilts, classic material for conspiracy theories, and indeed this channel. Still, this remains one of the most popular theories, so if you think you've cracked any of the cipher codes, be sure to get in the comments and share the truth with us. A single poster. There are thousands of reviews for Cucci's Key Lime Pie, so it may seem impossible that they could be made by a single person, but that couldn't be further from the truth. We're used to our internet mysteries happening quickly. Thousands of posts appear in a day, seemingly out of nowhere, and the game is afoot. It's easy to forget that this was going on for almost 8 full years before anybody noticed, and while there were thousands of these posts, there are also thousands of days in 8 years, nearly 3,000. In fact, it pretty much averages out to one post a day. We know at times the rate was much higher than this, but there were also large breaks too. When everything appears all at once, it can seem unfathomable that a single person did all of this. After realizing how long they had, it becomes a lot more believable. Yes, it would have taken an extreme amount of dedication, but we already know whoever was doing this certainly had that. So, who is the single poster? My money is on none other than the famous Captain Cucci himself. In early 2016, Oswald Pelaez was interviewed about a property that he owns that was run down and abandoned. He explains that he had been in talks to rent the property to a hotel to build there. It's a prime sell, surely sell the property to a hotel so a hotel could be built there, but it's a prime piece of real estate. But talks fell through when the Great Recession hit in 2008. In this interview, he mentioned having another year to drag along with the president. Meaning that he was not a fan of Obama and likely was very pro-Trump, just like our mysterious poster. Yeah, but I mean, a lot of people are very pro-Trump. That's why he was elected president. There's a lot more, however, aside from posting about the location of an out-of-business restaurant. The poster had a lot of other details correct as well. They correctly identified it as having been in business since 1976, something that's not easy to ascertain, and most, if not all, of the early coverage of the story pointed to this as being factually incorrect. It's possible that the restaurant advertised this fact, but as the only image available is of the abandoned property in 2008, there's no way to know. The reviews also have a bit of an unhealthy obsession with Anita Pelaez, though if it were her husband posting them, it suddenly becomes sweet instead of creepy. Either way, whoever is writing definitely sounds like they're very much in love with Anita. This is stacking up. This is definitely stacking up. A lot of it reads like dad jokes and is references to older pop culture like Roger Ramjet, so the person is probably at least in their 60s, the age that Cucci would have been when this whole saga began. He makes a lot of sense as the culprit, with the exception of one simple question. Why? Aspiring programmers might make spam bots to prove they can. Trolls will troll for the sake of the lulz. That's motive enough. A cult trying to spread information about child sacrifices would try to disguise their message, then disappear upon unwanted scrutiny. But why would the... It's ridiculous. But why would the former owner of a restaurant promote the out-of-business venture with such dedication for years after it closed? Good question. I don't know, but he does seem like the most likely, doesn't he? Wrap up. While Carl Marsh never existed, Anita and Oswald Cucci Pelaez did, proprietors of Cucci's Key West Bar and Grill. I'm fairly confident that Cucci is the one behind the Key Lime Pie reviews, but there's not much along the lines of proof, and even less for possible motivation. There's a lot of rumors, speculation, and alleged correspondence from his family and friends. Someone who claimed to have dated one of his waitresses said that Cucci was crazy even back then. Multiple professionals in the mental health field have said that the post reads like they were written by someone on the autism spectrum, and that autism could explain the intense fixation on Key Lime Pie. If any of the alleged correspondence is to be believed, there is another theory as well. Oswald Sr. had allegedly been suffering from dementia before his death and didn't remember that the restaurant his family owned was no longer in business. Most dementia is not hereditary, but a person is more likely to develop Alzheimer's if an immediate family member also suffered from the disease. Were Cucci in the early stages when these posts began, and he was certainly at the right age for it, these posts could all have taken place at times when he forgot that the restaurant was shut down. It isn't the cleanest explanation, and it has some holes, like how lucid he appeared to be when he was interviewed in 2016. Sadly, none of the potential answers to this mystery are without their holes. Some have more holes than others, but unless the progenitor of the review steps forward to take credit, there's a good chance we'll never know who did it. And even if the internet's combined sleuthing ability is, and even if the internet's combined sleuthing is able to finally definitively prove who it was, we're unlikely to ever know why. This has been an episode of Decoding the Unknown, where we absolutely didn't uncode the Danone. What was that? Decode the Unknown. But I feel like we know, even if we don't know why, and the reality is the why is probably just like more boring than we imagine. It's probably not spies. It's probably not like Jamaicans trying to sell drugs, or there was the Jamaican name. Look, it's none of that. There's no child sacrifices. It's probably just some boring dude who got dementia. Anyway, Decoding the Unknown. I've been Simon. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Jen, writer, editor, respectively. If you'd like to leave us a review, if you're listening as a podcast, that would be most welcome. 5 stars preferred. If you're watching on YouTube, there's a like button. There's a subscribe button. Feel free to use them. And if you enjoyed this episode of Decoding the Unknown and you're watching on YouTube, I will put a link to Cicada 3301, which is another internet mystery that we've covered. And it's a good laugh. There'll be a link on the screen now. And see you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.